This is Dominion Hour with GSW, a sacred time of spirit-led teaching and prophetic prayer grounded on the Word of God. With meekness of heart, may you receive the engrafted Word of God that is able to deliver monumental transformation in your life today and always. Blessings to you always.
I want to teach on the difference between facts and truth. And it will affect a lot of things and how we believe and process our belief systems. So if you have religious Christians, many of them from whatever denomination, that just feel they should just hear, they should just come and pay attention to the logical side of the gospel that would help them enhance their ability to think and enhance their ability to know God better than they do, they should be on this call. Today, come up higher. I'm going to teach class 1 and 2 later in this evening will be the distinction between facts and truth. The distinction between facts and truth. Facts and truths. So let me lay out some facts. It is a fact that in this world, there are people from different languages, creeds, culture, tradition, backgrounds, geographical location. That's a fact. That is not truth. That's a fact. A fact is what is It is a fact that in this world there are sick people. That's a fact. That's not truth. That's a fact. A fact is what is. So when you are stating a fact, when they are stating a fact, they insist that they are telling the truth. They do not know the difference between a fact and the truth. Let me bring it into religion so you understand. Somebody is not feeling fine. That means the person is sick. That's a fact. That's not the truth. Why? The truth is the correct state of things. The fact is the correct situation of things. So the correct state of things is that a human being is supposed to be healthy all the time. That is the truth. You are created to be healthy. But when you are sick, you are no longer in that state of health. So now, if somebody asks you, how are you? Are you feeling better? Are you feeling good? You see, they don't ask a healthy person, are you feeling sick? Are you feeling sickly? Are you feeling weak? No. They ask somebody that has gone to the process of facts, how do we get you back to the truth? How do we get you back from this anomaly, back to your correct situation? Correct situation is what we agree. This is the truth. Human beings are made to be healthy. So when the Bible said, let the weak say, I am strong, it is telling them that, see, it is a fact that you are weak, but the truth is that you are strong. You are not lying. If you begin to correct yourself, you begin to come out of facts and you begin to go towards the truth, that is your true nature. Your true nature is you are strong. But now, at this moment, you are weak. You have been robbed of your true nature, and now you are weak. So when the weak will then speak, the weak will not say, I am weak, I am weak, I am weak. The more the weak says, I am weak, the more the weak amplifies facts at the expense of truth. So the weak will then say, I am strong. That is not lying. That is correcting your course back to your true nature. It's a fact, for example, the Bible says, for all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. That's a fact. All men, generally, I'm not talking Christian and unbelievers now. Generally, all men have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. This is a fact. So when Jesus came, Jesus did not come to tell us facts. He came to show us how to come out of facts into truth by becoming the gift of God unto us and leading us into salvation. Now, that is the truth. How did he do that? He gave us the free gift of salvation. So that anybody that accepted that free gift, I believe it is in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Verse 24. And all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. So you can either be stating facts and say, all men have sinned. So many preachers will just say, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's a fact. They are stating a fact. But they ignore the truth that redemption has come. And therefore, justification has come. And all those who come into Christ have now been fully justified, which means they have crossed from fact to truth. What you meet on ground is a fact. You go to your children's room. The room is dirty. The boys have thrown their clothes on the floor. Their shoes are everywhere. They've scattered everywhere. You will say, hey, see this room. My God. Oh, dear me, dear me, dear me. Maranatha, how did you do your room like this? That's a fact. Then they come and then they put everything back in order. They put shoes where shoes are supposed to be. Put clothes where it's supposed to be. Lay their bed. Now they have gone back to the truth. So now you tell them, hey, this is how your room should be. Yeah, they move to the truth. Fact is when things are not working. Truth is how things must be. Fact when things are out of course. Psalm 82. Truth is how things must be. Ye are gods and children of the Most High. That is the truth. But you shall die like me, men, for you do not know and understand. That is a fact. So those who claim that, oh, let me show you that scripture. You have to begin to get why I'm just approaching the two scriptures. If you have your Bible, go to Psalm 82. I love Psalm 82 a lot. I love scriptures that show us the contradiction of reality and why what you believe determines your reality. Psalm 82, God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judgeth among the gods. How long will you judge unjustly and accept the person of the wicked? Defend the poor and the fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them of the hand of the wicked. A weak person cannot do all these things. If you are a Christian and you are saying, I am weak, I don't have any power, I am poor, I do not have anything. In this world, I'm lacking. God is my strength, I don't have anything. If that is your belief system, then you cannot defend the poor. A poor person cannot defend the poor. A poor person cannot take care of the fatherless. A poor person cannot do justice to the afflicted and the needy. A poor person cannot deliver the poor and the needy. You cannot rid them of the hand of the wicked. He now said to them, he said, they know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. That is a fact. Things are not the way they should be. That's a fact. I have said, this is the truth. I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. You see, that is the truth. But because you don't believe the truth, you shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. So when you look at scripture, it showed us the two sides of the reality of men. There are men who present facts as truths. There are pastors who present facts as truths. So they make you believe facts. And you would think that by believing facts, you are pleasing God. No. For example, they will tell you that you are born poor, your father is poor, your mother is poor. So you are a lap poor baby. Therefore, there is no hope for you in this world. You have to work hard. You have to labor. You have to cheat, steal, and destroy in order to have some money. You have to do fraud. You have to sleep around. You have to become street smart. You have to find a way to cheat the system. Why? Because the system has been rigged against you. That is a fact. Once you believe that fact, you will see how you begin to think. You will see your thinking process, how it will be. When you want to write, you will see what you'll be writing. Excuse me. When you want to talk, you will see what you'll be saying. Every time you say it's the government is bad. They are not giving us anything. In your mind, you'll be training your mind to be anti-government, to be anti-people, to see yourself as a victim. Your mind will be so programmed. Why? Because you have believed facts as truth. Yes, it is a fact that you can be born in a ghetto. You can be born poor. Your father may be a shoemaker. Your mother may be a house cleaner. It's a fact that if you live in a ghetto, there will be oppression. You'll be exposed to so many naughty things when you are young because you are living among very poor people. So because of that, there will be a lot of criminal activities. There will be drugs. There will be a lot of sexual, unholy and ungodly sexual activities, exposure to sexual activities at a young age. You have grown up in an environment that factually is not ideal for you to grow up in. But everything in that environment is a lie. It is facts. But facts are neither truth or false. They are absolutely false. You cannot pick one fact and say this fact. No, all facts are lies. Let me say that again. Every fact is a lie. As long as that is what is, and you can change the state, it is a lie. What is the truth? You are gods and children of the Most High. That is the truth. How then do you come out of fact into the truth? See, I was born poor, but I will not die poor. I am going to be blessed. When you begin to speak like that to yourself, you are beginning to agree with the truth. You are telling yourself, I may be born here, but I will not allow this place to condition my reality. I will not allow this place to teach me how to behave. I will not say because I grew up in a poor place, I'm going to end up a criminal. I'm going to end up a prostitute. I'm going to end up a thief. I'm going to end up a street urchin. I'm going to end up a pickpocket. These are the things that those who look at their condition, when you ask them, why are you doing this thing? They will say, well, I was born here. I didn't go to school. My father did not tell me to school. My mother, I don't. So they will blame everybody. They do not look at themselves and say, I can be better as a human being than this. I can be better. No. A fact-based thinking system tells you that this is what it is and you cannot change it. Because it's a fact. You say it's a fact now. It's a fact that some people are trying to embezzle the money in this country. It's a fact. Is it not a fact? It's a fact. Does that mean that somebody embezzle money as embezzle your destiny? Is your destiny in somebody's bank account? If somebody stole money in a country, everybody say, hey, because they've stolen the money, they've stolen all the wealth of the poor. That's why there is no hope. That's a lie. That there is a lie. Nobody can steal everybody's destiny. They can only steal the destiny of those who believe in facts. Nobody can steal the destiny of those who know the truth. And yet, when you see the conditioning of the mind, how people think, facts are what people preach in churches. Facts are what most people see as truth. It is one of the fundamental problems of the thinking system we have in developing countries, and even in some developed countries now, they've started embracing facts as truths. If you believe facts and you build your life around facts, you are going to end up cheating yourself of everything that God has for you, because there is no fact on the road to salvation. There is only truth. The Bible says Jesus Christ come, he came with grace and truth. That's all. He didn't come with facts. Moses was a fact bringer. He brought out facts. He had no truth in him. Moses had zero truth. The Bible says he came with the law. The law is a determinant of facts, not a determinant of truth. The law cannot determine truth. Grace only determines truth. The truth is defined by grace. Facts are defined by laws. Truth is defined by grace. Facts are defined by laws. No man follows the law into grace. You follow the law into facts. So that's why you will know somebody is innocent of a crime. You will know. But they saw a gun in his hand, but he didn't commit the crime. But there's a fact. He had a gun. Somebody planted a gun in his car. Somebody planted a gun in his house. He was found washing the car that somebody stole. He was found with a laptop that somebody stole. He was found in a compromising situation. That's a fact, but that's not the truth. And yet, the person will go to prison. Even though you know the truth, you will say, ah, this boy is innocent. But all the evidence will point to the contrary. But he's innocent. But they found him in the wrong place at the wrong time. And so the fact will nail him by law. But the truth remains he was innocent. And nobody was able to take him out of it, because facts always end up, the law always end up proving facts, not the truth. So in law, they will say truth is a defense. No. In human law, fact is a defense. Truth can never be navigated by human law. Nobody can make a law to ascertain the truth. The truth can only be navigated by grace. So when they caught that man in adultery in the Bible, fact, she was not married to the man she was sleeping with. Fact, by law, she had sinned. Fact, by law, she should be stoned to death. That is what facts do. Fact will point out all the reasons why this thing must remain the way it is. But when they invited grace into the situation, that was Jesus Christ, and they said to him, this woman has done this, fact, has done this, fact, has done this, fact. This is the judgment, fact. What do you want us to do? He then said to them, using their own fact, he then said, he who has no sin, fact, for all have sinned, should throw the cast the first stone. Fact. If you cast the first stone, you have perjured yourself. So you are saying you have no sin, and they will stone you through to death. Nobody wants to die. So all of them drop their stone. That is what the truth does. Grace is the pointer to truth. And for anybody to come into the truth, the person must only can only enter by grace. It is not by performance, it is not by being good, it's not by being perfect. You can only enter because the door is open, and it is saying, hey, I'm giving you the chance to stand all over and come into the reality of who I have made you to be. And so nobody can say it is by my hard work that I came into salvation. That is why justification came through Christ. And that is the key of grace. Once you come into grace, you'll be justified. Once you are justified, you are saved. You have eternal life. And so when you go to your churches and you are preaching, listen to people who are preaching facts as truth. They do not know the difference. Many pastors don't know the difference. And so when they preach, they say, ah, God is angry. That is not true. That was a fact that has since been corrected in the Old Testament. Not to say, oh, then I was angry with them. Then I was unhappy with them. Old Testament. Anybody that will preach to you the anger of God will use Old Testament. There is no pointer in the New Testament to the anger of God. Anybody that stands to be corrected, find it in the New Testament where one time God said, I'm angry after Jesus had died in the epistles. Find one place where any of the apostles ever wrote about the anger of God. It was snowball. But somebody in 2025 will preach about God's anger. And he would sincerely think he's preaching the truth, but it is preaching facts, which are not the truth. So as I begin to teach you about facts and truths, in your mind, separate things. Separate them, melt them. Because if you continue to believe in facts, you have believed a lie. Your life would garbage in, garbage out. What you put into your system is what you will bring out of your system. If you program yourself with lies, your life will be a lie. You cannot plot your way from lie to truth. You can only be a product of your own thoughts and your own imaginations. And if your thoughts and imaginations are all a lie, you would only end up living a lie. So the truth is a totally different experience. The truth stands by itself, unsupported as a pillar. It has one entrance. Entrance is grace. And a person that has been living in a life of facts, who realizes that, hey, this life I'm living, I could live a better life than this. The person does not have to leave Nigeria or leave the ghetto. The person does not have to change his environment. In order to come into the truth, the person just has to see himself as God says he is and tell himself, okay, where I am now is not where is not how God ordained me to be. But I'm a product of many things. My mother got pregnant with me when she was a teenager, gave birth to me, threw me on the streets. So this is my condition. This is my condition. Therefore, this is my facts. When I hear a lot of people tell their stories that they believe is the truth. Their stories are all facts. All men born of Adam, all human beings that are born of Adam, the day Adam ate the forbidden fruit, you lost access to the truth. You all became subjects to facts. Because the original state of Adam was that Adam was righteous, he was in direct conversation and relationship with God, and he had no consciousness of sin, sickness or death. Therefore, that is the truth. I told you, anything that you alter from the truth becomes a fact. They will say, when he woke up this morning, he was very fine. Then when he went to school, he said he had a slight headache. And now we came to the hospital and the doctor said he has typhoid. So the right typhoid on the paper, that is a fact. This boy was not born sick. This boy was not born with temperature. This is not his natural state. The alteration from natural state into sickness, that's a fact. When you cure him, you pray for him or you give him medicine and he gets better and he returns to his natural state of being healthy, he has come back to the truth. But when the boy is sick, if the boy lies in the bed and he begins to say, this is my nature, I have accepted my destiny that I'm a sick person. So when they give him medicine, he will not take it. When they give him food, he will not eat. Then his condition will get worse and worse and worse and worse. And then he dies. What killed him? The knowledge of fact. Because people tend who embrace fact as truth tend to accept their lot. They say, This is where we are born. This is our destiny. This is our life. It's a fact, but they have come to accept it as truth. Therefore, they will embrace it and they will allow it to condition them. I was talking to a young lady. I think this will help. The mother was born in the ghetto. The father was born in a high area of Lagos. Father was born into money. Mother was born into poverty. Poverty conditions people's thinking and the actions they take. So one day the father was out on a business trip. There was a young man there and he was going to stay in a hotel. He went to the hotel bar to sit down and eat. And then this beautiful young lady came in and they caught each other's eye. They began to talk. And that same night, her father slept with this lady. To this man, he knew in his heart that this is not a wife material. This is one of those girls that just sleep with guys for money. So he wasn't going to marry her as his wife because he understood that she's a product of her environment. As a result of that, she's not somebody you want as a wife because she does not have the right mindset to be a wife. She has the mindset of sleep with, exchange her body for funds. Unfortunately for him, the woman got pregnant and he was a popular person. So the lady got pregnant and the lady then came to the house after 4 months and said he was responsible for the pregnancy. So this was not a girl he was dating or that he knew. He just stepped it up. And because of this man's father's name that was going to be tarnished, they said, if we throw out, they will say the son of his firstborn is making, somebody got pregnant for his firstborn and he threw the person on the streets, right? So he didn't want that. And he didn't want his son to also marry the girl because the girl did not have the kind of programming that to take to make a good wife because of how she was raised and the kind of life she was living. And a lot of people think all these things don't matter. Oh, they do. You are a product of your environment. So the rich knew why they don't want their children to marry into the poor. So the poor will write sometimes on Twitter that they will say, all these people, the rich are marrying the rich and they are not living the poor. How will somebody come out of poverty? Who will come and marry you with your mentality? So that you can enter into a rich person's house and turn it into buka. Nobody will, because you didn't change your mind. So there are all people always afraid of people's programming. So the man said, no, you can't marry this girl. She doesn't have the programming to be the wife of wealth. If she comes into wealth, she's just going to ruin it. But she was pregnant. And she was able to keep the pregnancy because that's her meal ticket. She knew that as long as she had a child for that person, there would be food for her continuously because she would collect money for the upkeep of that baby. So she had made it. And that is the ultimate goal of all street urchins, all female street urchins who decided to use their body for money. At the beginning, they will be sleeping around, but their goal is at the end of the day to get pregnant for somebody who they will then milk continuously until they die. Therefore, they do not do anything tangible with their life. Their body will produce what they will eat. Either they will sleep around or they will use their child to blackmail or to force the man to continue to take care of them. Their body must produce what they must eat. So that is the quiet mindset of people that are born with that kind of programming. So she had gotten it. She was down to have this girl. So she had the girl. And when she had the baby, she was collecting every month at the time, she was collecting 5,000 naira. This was late 80s. Was collecting 5,000 naira every month for the upkeep of the baby. So this man graduated from Harvard, came back to Nigeria, met the woman he wanted to marry. And then one day he was driving to go see his daughter and he saw the kind of environment where his daughter was growing. That the daughter was already mixing with people in that community, and the daughter happens to be a very beautiful girl. So he realized that, my daughter is going to end up with the same programming as his mother. So he called the mother to a meeting and said he wanted his child. The mother said never. Because the mother knew once he collects the child, she will not see money again. Every month, that 5,000 every month was a new ticket for life. Once he collects the child, he will not send her money again. So she said no. The man said, okay, I will not send you any money anymore. Either you tell me what it will take for you to release my daughter to me, or I will not send you anything. I'll just travel abroad and forget about this girl. So the woman at first wanted to put stubborn. He didn't send her money for 6 months. When she got very hungry, she brought her terms. Give me 500,000 naira and you can have your daughter. And 5,000 naira in that time, in those days, was good. Salary for some people at the time was 7,500. That is high earners. Low income earners were earning 3,000, not low income, average income. So 5,000 was quite a lot of money. To them, the amount of 500,000 was a lot of money. And the man paid it and collected this girl and brought the girl home when the girl was 5. But you see, the 5 years that girl spent in that ghetto was enough. Was enough for her to continue to think she was not in the right place when she came out of the ghetto. They brought her out of the ghetto early, put her in some of the best schools any child could ever go to. She mingled with the best people, but as soon as she was in her 20s, and she was a university girl, she just, by herself, moved back to the ghetto, moved back to her mother's house. The father didn't chase her. And when I was speaking with her, I said, why did you do that? She said, I don't know. I just didn't feel like I belonged in all those classy places. You know, I always feel as if I didn't feel settled there. I was treated like a normal person. But in the ghetto, everybody called me a fine girl. You know, people would come and stroke my hair. They would buy me sweets. And I like it. She believed facts to be true. And she believed truths to be facts. And it ruined her life. Ruined her life completely. And as we sat down together and we talked about this reality, I was able to open her eyes to see. You cannot say you are a product of the ghetto because you had only 5 years in the ghetto, but in your mind, even though you are exposed to you went to federal government colleges, you went to all these schools, you mingled with the children of the high and lowly, but you never belonged. You couldn't program yourself out of that old life. And that is the problem with facts. Once you settle for facts and you accept it as truth, it conditions you. That's why some Christians, they'll be born again, but they'll be telling you, well, the Bible says in this life we shall have tribulation. That scripture was not talking to them. But because they couldn't work out the reality of the gospel, they have come to settle for fact that there is nothing good that they can achieve in this world. That's a lie, but it's also a fact according to how their worldview is. You are here, you are listening to me today, and you are wondering, what is Baduinka talking about? I'm talking about how to declutter your reality. The thing that you believe in, the foundation that you believe in. The Bible says, if the foundation be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? I'm trying to help you to reset your foundation. This is not something that you speak in tongues to do. This is not something that you go and cry to God to do. This is not something you say, I have no power of my own to do. No, 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 no. As a man is, as a man thinketh, as a man thinketh, as a man is. This is about your thinking, how you think. What informed your thinking? What are the things you believe that are not true? You will see some people, they begin to talk about their country. So many of us here are Nigerians. I know people from other nations are also here. But see people talking about their country. Oh, may Nigeria not happen to you. All those things are facts. They are not true. But once you begin to have that mindset, it begins to program your thinking. The more lies you believe, the more likely that you are a product of a lie. As long as you are believing lies, all the information that is coming to you is false. Then the information that will come out of you cannot be true. The information that will come out of you will also be false. And the decision you make on falsehood will give you false reality. And I was working in the church. I was listening to some of our members, staff members who were there before me. One said, ah, do you know how these pastors are enjoying? Ah, see, if you don't do something about your situation, you will just walk here, you don't know anything. I didn't know what you were talking about at first. Ah, this one said, ah, when we order diesel, order 100 liters, maybe 500 liters for the big gem, and we tell them, we drop 350. They will take 150 to the small gem, and we take 50 out of it. The other person said, oh, when we go to buy, and they were all talking about this thing, and they were justifying it. Because those pastors, do you know how they are? Do you know, they are billionaires, but they don't share what they have. The driver of the pastor will be saying, I went to his house, I saw all the food they put on the floor, all the food. They did not even tell me to take one cake. They prefer to waste it than to give it to me. Another person will say, I remember the day I drove this one to the airport. I saw dollars like this. I saw pounds like this. We are drivers working with them. And the people say, take one. These are people that are earning salary who are drivers simply because they came to work. You have no place in that man's life. You are just his driver. One will say, one day I was so angry. I almost drove him in front of a trailer. Because I was thinking, what is the point? And these people are men of God. Yeah, another person said, that's why I didn't become born again. I will die Muslim. Because what is it? People that you are working for, and they were talking. And I was there. And I was listening to all of them talk. And I realized that they truly believed the thing they were saying. My God. They believed it so much. Entitled people. They actually believed. They believed that they were justified to act the way they were acting based on how they have been treated. And they were stating facts about how they were treated, and the facts they were taking to them seemed like the truth. If you are one of those who speak like that, that's your way of thinking. You have believed a lie. You have absolutely, you may be saying it from your mouth, and you say, my mother, my father did not treat me well when I was young. My father, he had two wives. He took care of the children of the first wife. But me and my mother, he made us do this. He made us do that. He never loved us. Oh, my father. All that thing I think. To you, it may seem like the truth. It's a fact. It's a lie. All your experiences, all lies. Because that person that gave out to you that you are calling your father is actually not your father. The truth says you have only one father. Where is your father? Say it, where is he? Jesus said so. Jesus Christ said, in this world, call no one father. He said, you have only one father, and that your father is in heaven. That is the truth. So you see how far the truth is from fact now. So you have believed, ah, my father, I have daddy issues. It's because you are looking at the wrong father. And because you are looking at the wrong father, you are having the wrong emotion. You are making all the wrong decisions because you are looking at the wrong father. If you are looking at the right father, you will realize that, no, this is not my example. This is not the one I should invest my emotions on. This is the one that I will now be having daddy issues about later. My father is a constant father, ever loving. I know who my father is. So Jesus had no ambiguity about the truth. That was why Jesus was always insisting, my father that is in heaven. He knew his father was. He had no second thoughts about it. I teach my children all the time. Their father is in heaven. Their father is in heaven. Hey, I will be their daddy. Maybe you can call me daddy if you want. But I'm not your father. Your father is in heaven. That is the truth. And I may be a good daddy all I want, but your father is perfect. Your father is perfect. Your trust should be in your father, not in your daddy. Your trust should be in your father. I have a right to lead you by good example, to show you the way of salvation, to teach you, to nurture you as a guardian and as a steward. But I am not your father. Your father is in heaven. Our father who art in heaven. That is the truth. So a lot of people, due to all these facts that they believe, their life has become undone. Why? Because facts are not truths. And yet they have taken facts to be truths. Now I know the class is quite philosophical, but if you understand it so far, you get what I'm saying. Can I see your hand? Is it clear? I just want that response. I want to know. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, thank you. All right, so I can see that it's clear. The same thing with your marriage. My husband is this, my husband is that, my wife is this, my wife is that. All those things. They are facts, but they are not truth. The truth is, each of us must work on himself or herself to be the best version of himself in order to interact with other people around him as best as he or she can. That is the truth. But I have believed the lie. You have also believed the lie. We now marry each other. So both of us, we are living, our marriage itself is a product of our past, of all the wrong things we believe. So me, I have daddy issues. Maybe my father abandoned me. Maybe your mother abandoned you, or your mother was a wicked woman. And that was how you were raised. You know, I was watching a video. One woman telling at the daughter's wedding, she took the microphone and she was telling the husband that will marry her daughter. You know, she would think she was making sense. She was saying, my daughter, I know I raised her. You must not do this. You must not do that. She was reading laws for the person that wants to marry her daughter. And the daughter was just quiet looking at her. I said, they shouldn't be allowing these people to speak. They shouldn't be allowing people with trauma to speak. To speak to other people, they will think they are making sense. Everything they are saying does not make any sense. But they will think they are making sense because they are speaking from their own experience. They are speaking from their trauma. People always talk their trauma. Somebody will come for your event, your mother, your father. Mommies do it a lot. Mommies do it a lot. They project all their pain on their children. They will be the ones to raise their hand. Oh, wait, I have something I want to say. And then people say, let for me talk. And then give her microphone. Then she begins, your father, since we got married, has slapped me only 7 times. 7 times. But we are still together today. In pain and in this thing, I stayed by him. You will know the story. So my son, as you are marrying my daughter, I'm telling you, don't raise your hand to her, because the thing does. I remember how I felt before your father slapped me, and how I felt after your father slapped me. And so I'm telling you, don't slap my daughter, because if you slap her, she may feel the same way, and it will cause a lifelong pain. She will have regret. All that thing she's saying. It's of no benefit to the daughter. She is talking her pain at her daughter's wedding, and she's spewing up bile on the wedding. She's just polluting the atmosphere. But she will say, I have to give them life advice. You better shut up. All the things you are saying are facts, but they are not truth. And if you feed people with enough facts and they believe it, it colors how they think. So she will speak like that, and then the husband will say, hey, the husband of the girl will say, hey, this woman, hey, this is the kind of daughter I married. Somebody that their father stabbed their. And she will have projected that to the young man. I've seen that several times. People who do not purge themselves of facts, they end up poisoning every other person with false narratives. But they will have believed that false narrative to be so true that if you ask them in their sleep, they will say it's the truth. Ah, it's the truth. Oh, their father slapped me 35 times. I've seen parents who do it to their children. Their baby, two children, they will call their baby. See, your daddy, I told your daddy not to go out. You see, he's going out. What's that? 9:30. Your daddy is going out at 9:30. You will bear a witness. They are telling a 3-year-old, not unthinking people. I told you, they pass trauma from generation to generation. They pass lies from generation to generation. They throw trauma around. They bandits. And yet, they wonder why their generation is not rise out of the ashes. They wonder why things are not better. It is because you have allowed so many lies to become the foundation upon which you build your life, your reality. So when they said Jesus Christ was full of grace and truth, you see that word truth. In the Greek, it means reality. The reality somebody walks in, it is reality. It means, are you living in the reality of God? Or are you living in the reality of your society? Are you living in the reality of your environment? Are you living in the reality of your trauma? Are you the product of pain? Or are you the product of grace? Are you a product of sin? Are you a product of justification? How do you see yourself? As a man thinketh, he is. As a man is, he thinketh. As a man thinketh, he is. As a man is, he thinketh. As a Christian, you will be deliberate. I mean it. What do you say? Hey, when I was growing up, they raped me. They thought they raped me. Another person raped me. Another person did something to me. All these things, they happened. So they are facts. But they are not truth. Because no matter what you've been through, the day you came to Christ, you came to the truth. So when you came to the truth, you must purge yourself of all these experiences. You do not need the baggage. Why are you holding on to it? Somebody is born again 10 years, 15 years. I need them to tell their story. They begin to unpack the stories of all the things that happened to them before they came to Christ. Yeah. You did not move. Christ was a mental ascent for you. Christ did not become your beginning, your new beginning. You were still lost in the old foundation. You did not change your position. You did not change your location. You are still there while you are claiming to be here. You are under facts. You didn't come into the truth. The story of every believer begins the day he came into Christ. That is the truth. That's why we call it being born again. You died to the past. You died to your own self. You died to facts. You came into truth. That is the truth. I learned this in 2009. I learned it. When I learned it, I was reading the book, Kevin Kumar's book, Letter of Destiny. I was reading the book. I found myself in a trance. I found myself, I was in my house. I was searching for a job at the time. So I would go out to look for a job. If I don't get any job, I would come home. I would listen to Christian music and Christian material. I would pray. And then I would eat if there is food. And I was reading that book. And then I just found that my body was shaking. And suddenly, I was flung off my chair, flung off the couch. I was flung off like this. I didn't know how I landed on the floor. And I was in a fetal position for only God knows how many hours. I was wearing only my boxers. But in the vision I saw, the Lord told me clearly, the Lord said, you have to come totally out of this life and come into this new life. You cannot drag anything from this life. You cannot bring you can't. You can't. You are starting afresh. You are starting afresh. You cannot be a product of this life. You cannot think like this. You cannot behave like this. And the Lord showed me, Lord, look at Jacob. I couldn't do nothing for him until he became Israel. I had to give him a fresh life. I had to give him a fresh life. You have to have a fresh life. You have to have a fresh life. When I came out of that vision, I removed the S-O in my surname. By myself, I didn't ask anybody's permission. I said, I'm not Samuel anymore. I want to start afresh. All my old contacts, I blocked them. I was deliberate. I wanted to make new friends. I wanted to have new memories. I wanted to have a fresh history. I wanted to have a fresh journey. The things that I had done before I came to know the Lord, all the trauma of it, I wanted the influence and the effects to die. I didn't want to walk into a place and people would say, show boy! Because before, when I enter into a place, people shouting, show boy! I would be reveling in the praise of my ghetto friends, friends that I grew up with, friends that are ungodly, friends that I was their captain in mischief. But he said, you cannot. You cannot. You have to separate. You must write a new story. You must have a new testimony. You must have a fresh history. So much so that when people knew you before you became born again, talk about you. And those who know you after you become born again, talk about you. It will be as if they are talking about two different people. They will be asking each other, are you sure we are talking about the same person? They will say, yes. You don't know. That's GSW. And I say, I know when I knew him. You know, I had two people that are talking about me one day, and I really loved it. You know, that was saying when we knew him as Ogunmi, this one. This is your, he said, hey, you don't know him. I said, no, I know him. We grew up in Ibadan together. The one you knew is dead. It is not a pretense. He died. He died and was buried and was forgotten. Died and died and died. Died. He had to die. Jesus Christ said it. I said, a grain of corn falls to the ground and dies. It has to die. It will not live to produce. It is an internal process you have to go through. An internal process. You have to dig out these things. You have to dig it out of your system. An internal process, internal auditing. You have to remove all these lies you have believed for so long. All these lies, they have an effect that is crazy. I was talking to an elderly woman once who had been born again for 45 years. She was talking to me on the phone. And she said, you know, I was praying 2 days ago and a snake came out of my leg. I saw a snake come out of my leg. I screamed. I said, shut up! I tell the elderly person, no. Say, don't say that again! Shut your mouth! I said, why are you saying that? I'm telling you my experience. I said, that's a lie! That experience is a lie. She said, I'm telling you what I experienced. You are telling me it's a lie. I said, mommy, it's a lie. You have lied. You have been lied to and you have believed this lie. And that lie, I cannot hear it or stomach it. It is a lie. What you said you saw is a lie. What you are saying to me is a lie. It is not true. She said, what do you mean? I said, the word of God says that you are not born again. You born again for over 40 years. Snake is still coming out of your leg. After 40 years of born again. But when we were young, you know, our father was a herbalist. So he used to give us something to eat. I said, you ate it when you were like 7 or 8. And it is coming out of your leg at age 70. After 40 years in Christ. It is a lie. I know the truth and I know a lie, and you cannot feed me fact for truth. This is a lie, and I'm not going to stand for it. Hey, people wonder why I think that way. It is the truth. It is either the word of God has separated it, or you are still believing a lie, and then you continue to have experiences of a lie. You cannot be in Christ. You cannot be in Christ. You cannot be in Christ. And snakes will be affecting you 40 years after. It is a lie. The earlier you tell yourself the truth, and you program yourself the truth, that this is not the truth, the better for you. All your experiences that are coming from your trauma, they are all lies. If a man be in Christ, a new creature, all things have passed away. All things have become new. You are a new creature. You are writing a fresh history. You cannot continue from the past. You cannot continue from trauma. You have to break free. You will break free of it. You will break that yoke from your neck. Don't let it sink you. That is how you walk in the truth. You let go of your old self and all your stories and all your past, and you let it go. And you come into this truth that I'm a new creature. I'm a new creature. I'm full of the Holy Ghost now. I'm writing a fresh story. I'm writing a new story. I'm beginning anew. You want an example from scripture? Look at Apostle Paul. You see how he broke away from his past and then started a new life. And it was as if it was two different people. That is how to do it. That's how to be born again. Not that you are born again and you see, I have so many things that the Bible say are lies. You still believe them. You are saying you are facing reality. Your reality is based on fact. It is a lie. You are coming to the truth. You're coming by grace. That means you are washed clean. All your past are erased. And when you step into grace, you begin to write a fresh story. And that story will then be the truth. Writing it with the Holy Ghost in Christ. Oh, thank you, Father. It's time to give our offering. I know some of you are not very happy with me today, but it's fine. See, I've learned that as a teacher, some days we'll teach each other some things. All of us will sing, Kumbaya, my Lord, Kumbaya. Kumbaya, my Lord, Kumbaya. Kumbaya, my Lord, Kumbaya. Oh, Lord, Kumbaya. And also this we will teach, and we will not talk to each other. Everybody will just go and face the world. I understand. But if I'm going to be better, we have to then tell each other the truth and begin to deliberately break free, declutter all the lies that you have believed. You are now in Christ. You are now children of obedience. You are now children of the day, sons of the day. Akapitiana, Ege, Hatin. You are now the ones that the Bible says you are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Yala. If you see my angels when I preach the gospel, you will understand. When I rise, they rise tall. They know that I know who all the truth is, but they will not follow somebody that is following facts, because all facts are lies. Have you given the offering? The offering is for the poor. You must give them because the Lord said you should give them. Tonight, I'm going to speak on part 2 of this class. Invite people, come. Take the recording, listen to it again. But it is to help you think. Don't be lazy in your thinking. Introspection is not for the lazy. Don't be lazy. Think deep. And then begin to remove all the things that you believe. I used to dream of my father's house. All those dreams are product of a lie. It is because you have believed so many lies. That's why you're having dreams of a lie. A man cannot continue to process lies and think truth. What you process is what you will dream, is what you will see, is what you will say, is what you will know. You must process yourself out of it. You must die to the past. You must put a lid on it. You must wave goodbye to it. You must bury it and let it go. You must begin to write a fresh story, a story that confirms the word of God. You are gods and children of the Most High God. I have said to you, you are gods. 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 That is the truth. You are gods. You are joint heirs with Christ. You are a member of the assembly of the saints in life. You are gods. You are not victims. You are not victims. You are not victims. You are a victor. You are in charge. You are a master of your own reality. You are not a victim. You are not a product of a fact. Your father is the truth. That is the word of God.
Somebody that is blessed, please submit and shout, glory!
Glory!
We hope today's teaching has been a blessing to you. We invite you to join us again for more inspiring messages and engaging prayer sessions. To learn more about the ministry, please visit us at our website at www.gswmi.com. Thank you, and may you continue to walk in God's abundant blessings always.